Well, welcome to Kingdom Power and Glory. This is going to be our sixth session. What is an overcomer? This is part A, chapter 12 of the book. What is an overcomer? My goodness, we push that word around. We use that word so often. What is an overcomer? This probably will be the most important session of the whole series. In my opinion, it is. You know, we talk about overcoming the world. We talk about overcoming the flesh. We talk about overcoming the enemy. It sounds so easy, and yet it's so difficult to do in practice. And that's really what it means to be a Christian, is to know how to overcome. So this session is going to be probably the most important session, practical application that we're going to talk about. It's really important for you to not let the enemy put you to sleep. This is going to be probably one of the hardest messages I've had to prepare for. It's an easy message, you know, just say, you know, overcome the enemy. But it was a very difficult one to actually put into words so that you would hang with me, so that you would understand where I'm going. So I would ask, if you find yourself sleepy or tired, go get a cup of coffee. Don't miss what I'm going to say today. It's the most important session of all. You know, there's a slogan nowadays in advertising that says, just say no, remember? Just say no. I think it's to drugs, isn't it, and to sex. Just say no. Wouldn't it be easy if we could just say no to the world, no to the flesh, and no to the enemy? That's it. So easy, but so hard to do in practice. Just say no. I think most of us long to be overcomers. I think that's something that we all long to be. We read about it in Scripture. We know that that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We long to be overcomers in every area of our life. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's what we're called for, what we're trained for, and it's the purpose of our lives. That's what makes us different from the person down the street that doesn't even know Christ. It's because we're overcomers. If others could see us overcoming the flesh, the world, and the devil, we wouldn't have to give them the gospel. They'd say, what have you got? I want it. They need to see those living examples. An overcomer is one who, even though he doesn't understand what's going on, an overcomer is one who, even though he doesn't see an end to his problems, an overcomer is one who doesn't even know why his problems are happening in the first place, he still chooses to rely upon God. An overcomer is one who relies upon God no matter what. He has peace and joy and confidence in the middle of his trials. In the middle of his trials, even though he doesn't see any victory at all. He knows in his heart that God will be faithful to his word, perform his promises in God's way and in God's timing. An overcomer knows that God will perform his promises in his way and in his timing. And he's not to fear. That's what an overcomer is. He has that unconditional reliance upon the Lord. An overcomer is one who faces all the challenges of his life, all the issues of his life, all the crises of his life, and all his fears with this attitude. He knows that God will be faithful. But overcomer, hear me clearly, is one who faces all the challenges, issues, and crises of his life, knowing that God will be faithful. That's what an overcomer is. He's one that knows if he calls upon the Lord, if he seeks the Lord's face, he will be delivered. He just knows it's God's timing and God's way. He has that assurance he will be delivered. Did you know that there are 23 promises of deliverance in Psalms alone? 23 promises where God says, I will be your deliverer. You call upon me, I will deliver you. 23 times in Psalms. Let's define what an overcomer is. Let's start at the very beginning. In the second session, we talked about who are the overcomers, and we talked about some of the incredible promises that overcomers get. I want you to hear this clearly. In Revelation 2 and 3, it talks about overcomers, and it says they are the ones that are going to inherit these incredible promises in the coming kingdom. Ruling and reigning with him, levels of responsibility, authority in the coming kingdom, overcomers. We also talked about the promises that were given to them. Now, in this session, we want to talk about what an overcomer is and how we become one. What's the practical application of becoming an overcomer? The Greek word for overcome is nikeo, which means to subdue. It means to conquer. It means to gain victory over hostile powers. An overcomer is one who gains victory over hostile powers. It occurs about 15 times in Revelation alone. An overcomer occurs about 15 times in Revelation alone, and it means to have victory over hostile powers. Overcomers are those who have learned how to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. They've learned how to, listen to me, refuse the world. They've learned how to forbid the flesh, and they've learned how to bind the enemy. Those three words are good. All the way through, let's use those. They've learned how to refuse the world. This is what we're going to learn today. How to forbid the flesh, and how to bind the enemy. Those three things. They've learned how to have victory over hostile powers. Again, overcomers are not perfect. We talked so much about overcomers not being perfect. They're the ones that simply recognize their choices, and they are willing to give everything that's not of faith over to God. That's all an overcomer is. Somebody who recognizes, I've quenched the spirit. We've talked about those charts before. They recognize the spirit is quenched, and they're willing to give over to God, to admit, to confess, to repent of all the things that are not of faith. This is what 1 John 1:9 is all about. And when they do that, they know, and this is important, they know their part is to choose to give everything over that's not of faith. God's part is, 1 John 1:9, is that he will wipe away their sin and self that they're confessing and give them a new and clean slate. You start again. Start fresh. Everything behind is gone. Everything you've confessed and repented of, it's gone. You're clean. You have a clean slate. You can start fresh again. That's the incredible thing about belonging to the Lord. You have a clean slate every time you come to him and confess yourself. Now, the ability to overcome is not something that's automatic. The ability to overcome is not something that's automatic. Just because we're Christians, just because God lives in us, Christ lives in us, we're not naturally overcomers. Do you know a lot of Christians teach this? You're a Christian? You naturally are going to be an overcomer. I don't know about you, but my experience tells me, I've been a Christian 50 years, my experience tells me that's not always true. You know why? I quench the spirit. Jesus is in there. He's the overcomer. But I've quenched the spirit and put that dark shadow. Remember all our charts that show the dark shadow? When that dark shadow comes over your heart and your life, you're not going to be an overcomer. So being an overcomer all depends upon our own faith, our own choice of faith. Being an overcomer depends upon your own moment by moment, I will add, moment by moment faith choice. Overcoming doesn't work without faith. Being an overcomer doesn't work without faith. Faith is our responsibility. That's our choice. God's given us that free choice. It's our responsibility. It's what we supply to the equation. God's got it all done. He'll make us. He's the overcomer. Our responsibility is just to make that choice. Faith is the bridge between God's promises and our overcoming. Faith is the bridge between God's promises and our being able to overcome. It's what activates God's promises in our life. Faith is what activates God's promises in our life and what makes us overcomers. Faith is the connection to our victory. Faith is the connection. Therefore, if we want to have joy and peace and purpose in our lives now, and have positions of responsibility in that coming kingdom, we need to learn, first of all, how to have faith. What are we talking about when we say faith? That's really easy, another Christianese word. What does that really mean? And then we need to learn, how did God design us to overcome? This is critically important. How does God design us to overcome so we can begin to produce fruit, those fruits of righteousness that will allow us to inherit the kingdom? Now, it's true that all believers are meant to be overcomers. That's God's will, because Christ lives in us. But not all of us choose to lay our lives down so Christ, who is the overcomer, can live his overcoming life out through us. It's God's will that we're overcomers, but all of us don't choose moment by moment to lay our lives down so Christ, who is the overcomer, can have that open channel. Remember that beam of light right through us? When we make those faith choices, then he can work through us and overcome through us. So the theory that somehow we're all overcomers no matter what we do here in our Christian lives has robbed the church, in my opinion, of the truth and clouded its perspective of grace. And the idea that our failure to become overcomers might jeopardize our inheritance in the future kingdom is a totally unheard of idea, a totally foreign idea for many Christians. The idea that our failure to become an overcomer might jeopardize our future kingdom is a totally unheard of and foreign idea to many, many Christians. Again, Jesus is the true overcomer, not me. He's the overcomer. But as we allow him to live his life out through us, be that open channel, he then is going to overcome through us. It's the daily release of his life that will give us the victory. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's the daily release of his life through me. Remember that beam of light. That's what's going to allow you to become an overcomer. Religious people try to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil by removing themselves from it. I don't know about you, but it's easy to be spiritual when there's nobody around. Lock yourself in a bathroom door, in a bathroom. You'll be a great overcomer. Don't ever come out. Great overcomer. You can stay clean. You can stay that beam of light. But life is not that way. Life is full of conflicts. It's full of challenges. It's full of obstacles that we need as Christians to learn to overcome. He's given us the ability and the power. We need to learn how to use it. Okay, the question is, how do we develop, first of all, the kind of faith that will lead us to becoming overcomers? How do we develop that kind of faith? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance, the assurance, the confidence of things hoped for, and the evidence, the conviction, and the proof of things not yet seen. How do we have that kind of faith? How do we have that kind of faith in our everyday life? How do we say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil? So easy to say, so difficult to do. The answer is, and this is what I want you to really, this is the crux of the message right here. At our new birth, God not only gave us his resurrection power. Remember two or three sessions ago, I've forgotten, I think it was in session four, we talked about the resurrection power of God, and we talked about how he gives us his spiritual strength, his physical strength, and his emotional strength. Remember that? That was in session four. God not only gives us his strength to do his will, he has also given us his authority to choose his will regardless of how we feel. He's not only given us his power to perform that will, he's given you and I authority to choose that power to work, to choose the Spirit, even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't want to do it, even when I don't think it'll work. He has given me that authority to choose to do that. If we didn't have his permission to make non-emotional choices to do his will, his power would be of no use to us. If we didn't have that authority to make choices that we don't feel and we don't think will work, his power would be of no use. So God has given us not only his authority to choose something we don't feel, but also his power to perform that choice in our lives. That's the key, the power and authority of Christ. John 10:18 is a good scripture that validates this. It says we have authority to not only to lay our lives down, but power to pick them back up again. The Greek word for this type of authority is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, which means the right to exercise power. Exousia in scripture, it's the Greek, means the right to exercise power. It's the right or the permission of the person in charge. God, of course, is the one in charge, but because he lives in us, we too can be bearers of his authority. Because he lives in us, we can be bearers of his authority. My scripture, Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do." God is in you to help you to choose as well as to perform it. I just have to make that choice. These are called sonship rights. It's from John 1:12, sonship rights, the rights to just say no, no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. Now, the Word of God is what gives us the authority, and the Spirit of God is what gives us the power. Word of God gives us the authority, and the Spirit of God is what gives us the power. These two gifts, these two attributes of God, the authority and power of Christ, are not only, listen to me, the keys to the world, flesh, and the devil, and all the challenges of life now, they're also the keys to the future kingdom. And we're going to talk about that after the break, the keys to the kingdom. We've heard that all of our Christian lives, the keys to the kingdom. What does that mean? That's important, the keys to the kingdom. This authority and power of Christ are not only the keys to overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil now, but also to the keys to the future kingdom. And these keys become ours at our new birth, but whether we use them or not depends upon our own choice. So applying this authority and power of God by faith is going to be the bridge or the connection or the link to our overcoming. You follow what I'm saying? Applying the authority and power of God that He's given us at our birth is going to be the link or the connection to our overcoming. That's our responsibility. I think ignorance to this authority and power that God has given us has caused untold grief in the body of Christ. You know, are we overcomers? Look around the body. Are we overcomers? Do you see overcomers out there? Are we having victory? Are we winning? Huh. No way. There are more divorces now in the Christian body than ever before. There are more severed relationships in churches, Christian relationships, more hopelessness, more substance abuse in the Christian body, more mental breakdowns, more emotional issues than any other time in history. We're not overcoming. Rather than overcoming, we're being overtaken. Rather than overcoming, we're being overtaken. Our lack of understanding in this critical area of the authority and power of Christ is one of the reasons why Satan is making such headway in our lives, in all of our lives, and why he hates this message of overcoming so much. He can't let us connect the dots. He can't let us see a pathway to victory. He's got to keep us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually in the dark. And unfortunately, he's doing a great job. Last week, we said that faith comes in the form of a choice. If you don't learn anything else or remember anything else from this session, remember that faith comes in the form of a constant choice. And this kind of choice we talked about last week is called a faith choice. Another name you could put down, a non-emotional choice. What I like is a contrary choice. Because faith choices to me are contrary to how I feel and what I want and what I think. It's a choice to do God's will regardless of my own emotions and my own desires. A faith choice is a choice to do God's will regardless of how I feel or what I think. It's simply saying, not as I will, but as thou wilt. It's Matthew 26:39. It's simply saying, not as I will, not what I want, what I feel, what I think, but what I'm going to choose by faith, by your authority, to do what you want. Then God promises to implement that choice in our lives by His grace. So faith choices are how we appropriate God's authority and power. It's how we activate, how we energize, how we trigger, how we start, how we initiate the Spirit of power to work in our lives. Everything's ready to go. We just have to make that faith choice. He will be the overcomer through us. But it depends upon my choice. It depends upon your choice. I've had so many people write me and say, I never realized my choice was that important. Your choice is the whole Christian walk. It's the key to your Christian walk, moment by moment by moment. God's done it all. He just wants to do it through you and won't break you down before he does it through you. He wants your permission to do it through you. That's the free choice that he's given us. So again, our faith choice is the bridge to our victory. It's the link to our overcoming. Faith choices are how we let go. You know, we've all talked about let go and let God. Faith choice is how we let go, how we release God to work in our lives. It's how we say no to the enemy, no to the world, and no to the flesh, and yes to the Spirit of God. Now, a non-believer, someone that doesn't have Christ in his heart, they can make all the faith choices they want to make, but it'll never do them any good. You know why? They don't have another power source within them to perform something different than what they think, what they feel, and what they want. We as Christians do. A non-believer can see, I'm not going to go with what I feel. I'm not going to go with what I think. I'm not going to go with what I want. And yet there's nothing else over here to implement that in their life. They have to go with their feelings and their emotions. They don't have another power source. We as Christians do. This is what makes us overcomers, or makes us the potential of being overcomers. Because we have Christ's divine nature, his life in us, we have the authority not only to choose his will, regardless of how we feel, but also his power to perform that will in our lives, no matter how we feel. Let me give you an example. Let me have you break for just a minute from the heavy stuff, and let me give you an example. This is the only example I'm going to have for the whole session, so enjoy it. Enjoy the break, because it's the heavy session. But this is an example of how God's authority and power can work through our faith choices, and how God can make us overcomers in a very difficult situation. One Christmas, years and years and years ago, we rented a house up in Tahoe, our whole family, four children, two boys and two girls. And the boys, interestingly enough, Michelle was 16 years younger than the oldest boy. So there's quite a difference in age. And so we wanted to find a vacation that would suit everybody's needs, where we all could do something together. So this was back when we had money. We rented a house up in Tahoe for 2 weeks. That's in Northern California, up a ski resort place. And it was wonderful. We're going to have 2 weeks together playing games, skiing, sharing, just being together. The boys at that time were off in college, so this was going to be really a special time for them. And also Chuck had been traveling, so this was a time we were really, really going to look forward to being together. I also was going to about ready to give a seminar on the way of agape, so I thought, well, this is a perfect time. I'll be able to really prepare for this seminar and have some wonderful down, quiet time. I couldn't wait. My mom and dad were going to be in San Francisco at the time visiting my brother, and I thought, well, we might even have them over. But Chuck said, no, this is a time just for our family. No outside interference. So fine, okay, wonderful. All together, we're so excited. One fabulous week goes by. Kids and I were, and Dad and I were never closer. No TV, had some movies, played games. I still remember the fun games we had at the dinner table. We read, we talked, we skied, had a wonderful time. Then one morning, out of the blue, about a week into it, Chuck announces at the breakfast table, I hope you all don't mind, but I have invited a business associate and his wife up to visit us for a few days. Well, all of us were just like that. We just couldn't even believe it. Here Chuck was the one saying that we weren't supposed to have any outside influence, and now he's bringing someone that I don't even know up for a few days. And we said, well, how long are they going to stay? And Dad said, I don't know. I didn't put an end to it. You know, he said as long as they want, I guess. I left the invitation open. I think if I had something close by, I would have hit him. I was so upset and so angry. You know, here we were supposed to not have anyone or anything disturb our privacy, and now we're not only having some outsider over, someone we've never even met, but also they're staying for who knows how long. I needn't tell you how I wrestled with resentment and bitterness and anger. You women can identify. Let me get to you men. Let's make it another scenario. Wonder if your wife had invited Chatty Cathy and her husband, who you didn't know, to stay with you for a week in a place that you had paid good, hard-earned money and you had a business project you needed to do. How would you feel? Maybe that puts it more a little bit on the level. You'd have natural resentment, bitterness, and anger, especially if it was told to you that there would be no outside influence at all. I can't tell you the number of times I went to the Lord. I knew about faith choices back then. I went to the Lord 100 of times, giving him my resentment, giving him my anger, and by faith choosing to stay clean. The day after Christmas, we learned that they were on their way. They called and said they were on their way. And wives, you know what you have to do for company. You have to go out and shop where you normally maybe wouldn't shop as much. You have to clean the house, which you normally on a vacation you don't clean the house. We had to rearrange bedrooms because there were only three bedrooms and they needed a whole bedroom to be able to stay in. We put the boys tons of work you don't normally do on your vacation. Never forget the day they arrived. We were sitting in the kitchen. My girls were looking out the window for them. And all of a sudden, they said, "Mom, they're here." And they've brought all their kids. They've brought all their kids. That meant 12 people to feed morning, noon, and night on my vacation. I can't tell you again the number of times I went to the Lord frustrated and saying, "Lord, but you know I wanted to work on my agape studies." And you know what the Lord said back to me? "I'm giving you a perfect opportunity to work on your agape studies. You need to live it first." Easy to write it. You need to live it first. I'm giving you a perfect opportunity and also to show you how my authority and power works. Every day I had a continual choice. Every day I could make an emotional choice, follow up my anger and my bitterness and my resentment, my natural things were telling me, tell Chuck off, this is what I wanted to do, put up a smiling face and get rid of him as fast as I can so I could work on the agape studies. Or, by faith and God's authority, I could make a faith choice to deny myself, to deny what I wanted, what I felt, what I thought I should be doing, follow what God was telling me, which is to give my hurts, anger, and resentment over to him, and then knowing that he then would give me the love I needed and the patience and the strength I needed to love these people the way he would. So again, making faith choices, especially ones that you don't feel, is so difficult. Somebody in the audience this morning was talking about how difficult it is to make faith choices, especially when you don't feel them. And also before your feelings align with that faith choice. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, when you make the faith choice, God in his timing and way will align your feelings with that faith choice and make you genuine. You will feel the love for those people. You will feel his wisdom flowing through you. But there's a period there where it's very difficult. Before your feelings have aligned, you made the choice, but your feelings haven't aligned. It's very difficult. And often in our ministry, we'll say, "Well, we've made the choice. My feelings just haven't aligned yet. We're in that in between." And yet you still have to act out, trusting that God will do it through you. But it was fabulous because God literally did align my feelings with that choice, with my choices, faith choices, filled me with his love, gave me his power. These people turned out to be an incredible Jewish couple. They were not Christians, Jewish couple. And they taught us Hebrew. They answered a lot of our questions about the Old Testament. They were very religious Jewish people. We had 4 marvelous days with them. Their kids were just very, very sweet and wonderful. And it was during this time, God uses, the enemy means it for evil, the Lord uses it for good. It was during this time that Be Ye Transformed was actually, the idea for Be Ye Transformed was started, because they talked to us about Jachin and Boaz, which are the temple pillars, and the whole thing led into the whole study of Be Ye Transformed. But what would have happened if I had not known how to make faith choices? What would have happened? And you can all identify in your own circumstances. You put up the phony face. "I'm this Christian." These are Jewish people. "This Christian, you know, I'm so glad you're here. If you'll go over to us like this." People know that. Kids know that. You know, kids know when it's genuine. They know when it's not. You make those faith choices by the authority and power of God, you will be genuine. And that love that will come forth is not you. It will be Jesus. Faith choices are the only things that free us from ourselves, free us from our circumstances, and free us from others' responses. Did you hear me? From our circumstances, our feelings, and others' responses. So often you get negative responses. Faith choices. Therefore, it's through God's authority and power that we receive the ability not only to overcome our flesh, but also the world and the enemy. And this is where we're going with this. God's power and authority. It's through his power and authority we receive the ability to overcome the flesh, the world, and the enemy. This power and authority is the keys to the kingdom, listen, because it allows us to stay sanctified, which in turn leads us to partaking of his life, which in turn leads us to overcoming and producing fruit, which in turn leads us to inheriting the kingdom. We've talked about that all the way through this class. Sanctification leads to partaking of Christ's life. Partaking of Christ's life leads to overcoming. Overcoming leads us to inheriting the kingdom. Faith choices are what allow us to be sanctified, which is the very first thing. And after the break, I'm going to show you the chain reaction that occurs when we make choices by God's power and authority and what happens when we don't. And I'll show you how it's the keys to the kingdom. But before God can trust us with authority in the coming kingdom, listen to me, he wants to see how we use his power and authority down here. Are we going to abuse it or are we going to use it? Are we going to use it in a godly manner? Two things are necessary for these faith choices to work. Number one, we talked about this before, we need to know God loves us. In order to make faith choices, we need to know experientially, not just in our head, but experientially, that God loves us. In other words, there needs to be an intimate relationship with God first. You need to be able to trust God to lay your life down to him. If you don't have a relationship with him, you're not going to be able to trust him to lay your life down. So knowing God loves you, that's where you are right now. You don't really know God loves you. Start there. Ask God to show you experientially how much he loves you, because that gives you the basis to then begin to lay your life down moment by moment. And number two, in order for the faith choices to work, is we need to know God's word. Need to know God's word so you can stand on his promises. And I would suggest making little cards, you know, little helpful cards with God's word on it. Because everything in God's kingdom is based upon his promises, not our feelings. Everything in God's kingdom is based upon his promises, not our feelings. That's why it's important to know his word, so we can claim it by faith. Okay, let's talk about overcoming the world. Scripture tells us that there are three areas that God wants us to overcome: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's see what the world means. The Greek word is cosmos. It means the earth in contrast to the heavens. It means the present condition of human affairs in opposition to God's. The way we overcome the world, put this scripture down, 1 John 2:15 tells us, is by not loving the world, but instead loving God and having faith in his word. The way we overcome the world is by not loving it, but by having faith in God's word. Now, do you remember the word loving we talked about a couple of weeks ago, agapeo? It means what you totally give yourself over to, what you put first in your life. The same scripture warns us, this same scripture, 1 John 2:15 says, if any man love the world, if any man agapeo, if he totally gives himself over to the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a heavy scripture. And I asked Chuck this morning, I said, honey, you're my authority. Does that mean love of God is not in them at all? Or is it just quenched? And he said, no, I believe it's just quenched. And he went, that's what I think it says too. Because I believe at times we all give ourselves over to things that we shouldn't, and we quench God's spirit. But that scripture, John, 1 John 2:15, says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. The love of the Father has just been quenched. Overcoming the world is simply, just put down, having faith in God's word. Overcoming the world is simply giving ourselves over to God and trusting in his word. It reminds me of the rich young ruler that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Matthew 19:16. He asked Jesus what he had to do to have eternal life. Jesus said, if you will be perfect, if you will be complete, perfect means complete, go sell what you had and come and follow me. But because the young man loved his possessions, loved the world, he couldn't give them up, he couldn't follow Christ, and he went away sorrowful. Then Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to lay down his treasures and follow Christ, for a rich man to enter the kingdom. So giving up things of the world, it's hard, it's difficult. I talked about that last week in my own story. We had to give up everything, houses, cars, insurance, everything, money, everything we have. But as Christians, I don't believe we have another choice. God asks us every day, do you love me? Agapeo means, will you give up everything for me? That's what it means. Will you love me? And we all say, oh, of course, and we raise our hands, emotional affection, love, you bet. We don't realize agapeo means totally give ourselves over to him. We don't have another choice. He tells us to love him first. If we love him first, he will give us everything we need in our lives. He will give us the love we need. He will give us the wisdom we need. He will give us the power we need. Justification, which is a salvation of our spirit, is a free gift and costs us nothing. Coming to the Lord, making that first faith choice, God, I choose to believe in you. That costs us nothing. Sanctification, however, will cost you everything. Sanctification will cost you everything. Because what he's trying to do is exchange lives. You're giving him his, yours, he's giving you his. That's that exchange life. Okay, what are some of the things in the world that Scripture says we're to watch out for? What are some of the things that we're to overcome? 1 John 2:16 says there are three specific things that we're to watch out for in the world. Number one, the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? It's a strong, sometimes uncontrollable desire for fleshly pleasures. The lust of the flesh is a desire for fleshly pleasures. Sex, drugs, alcohol, gluttony, any physical desire that we put before the Lord. Any physical desire, gluttony, that we put before the Lord is a lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes is the second thing that he tells us. It's a strong and uncontrollable craving and longing for things that we can see and that we desire and that we want. Wealth, possessions, fame, position, control, vanity, beauty, anything worldly that we desire and that we see with our eyes and that we desire before the Lord. That would be classified lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The last one, pride of life. It's a total inability to see beyond yourself. Pride of life is a total inability to see beyond yourself. It refers to someone who's totally consumed with his own things. He puts his own cares, his own career, his own future before God and before others. Totally consumed in himself. Puts himself into money, into him, the people he affects. Everything is revolving around him. Three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Another worldly area that I didn't know where this might fit, but I think an area that trips a lot of us up are destructive relationships. That can be mother-daughter, that can be mother-husband, that can be, you know, wife-husband, that can be mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, destructive relationship, harmful soul ties, where you're tied to somebody. And the enemy has you because of that. Detrimental friendships, romantic unions, where we almost lose our identity trying to keep the relationship alive. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We do. Even with kids, you do this. With parents, you do this. You know, destructive relationship. We lose our identity. And in the process, we forget all about the Lord. We're so busy with this relationship. This destructive relationship, this non-spiritual relationship, we forget all about the Lord. These are areas of the world that we need to watch out for. We're not to give ourselves over to these worldly things. Otherwise, the scripture tells us that the love of the Father will be quenched in us. And we've seen this in our charts, you know, that we charts that we had, that where that beam of light that we talked about so often gets cut off and it becomes a dark shadow. We're to love God first. Okay, what are some of the solutions to overcoming the world? 1 John 5:4 says the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Our faith in God's word is what's going to help us have victory over these specific things that we just talked about. And again, we do this by making faith choices. Faith choices to bring the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life to the cross. And then making faith choices to trust God's spirit to cleanse us, refill us, and then strengthen us. It's again just saying no to the flesh or no to the world and yes to the Spirit of God. Galatians 6:14 confirms we're to go to the cross with everything. It says, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The cross is how the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So as believers, this got to be our mindset. We must be crucified to the world. We must learn to say no to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Otherwise, we'll experience no victory, no peace, no joy in our lives, and we'll end up, what we do is that when we we're not overcomers, and we let these things overtake us, we end up frantically searching for meaning and purpose in all the wrong things. Going back to the things of the world, to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to fill that need for purpose and meaning. If we don't learn to love God first. So the answer to how we overcome the world is by loving God first, and then by having complete faith in the promises of God, complete faith in His Word. How we overcome the world is by loving God first, totally giving ourselves over to Him, then having complete faith in what He promises in His Word. Faith in His Word. And this is where the overcoming power of God that we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the physical power of God, remember we talked about ichthus, I-S-C-H-U-S, the ichthus power of God. We said it's the physical power of God. This is where the physical power of God helps us out. He helps us to overcome things of the world. So the first obstacle that we as believers must learn to overcome is the world, and we do this by recognizing our faith choices, applying the Word of God, and trusting His Spirit to bring it to pass. Then we talk about overcoming the flesh. How do we overcome the flesh? This is a big one. We must learn to overcome the flesh and the power of sin that dwells in the flesh. Listen to me, the power of sin. Again, this is Christianese we talk about so often. Power of sin is an energy force whose whole intent and purpose is to cause us to veer off course and miss the mark. The power of sin is something that we were born with. It's the sin nature that we were born with. It's an energy force whose whole intent and purpose is to cause us to veer off course and miss the mark. Now, I used to think that that mark was the being conformed to the image of Christ. I used to think that was the mark. And it is. It is the mark. But now that I see things on a much broader scale than that, God not only wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ, He wants us to have that mark of Philippians 3:14, which is the mark of the high calling, which is being able to rule and reign with Christ in the coming millennial kingdom. That's the mark. That's the high calling of God. Not only to be conformed into His image down here, absolutely, so we can produce fruit and be overcomers. But the mark that He's talking about there in Philippians 3:14 is the mark of the high calling to be able to rule and reign with Christ in the coming kingdom. That's the hope of our salvation. So missing the mark simply means missing our calling. If we miss the mark, we've missed our calling. It stands to reason that the intent then of the power of sin is to try and cause us any way he can to veer off course and miss that mark. And when we give the enemy and the flesh a hole in us by not making faith choices, enemy says, I got you good. And he grabs a hold of us and keeps us again over here from missing that mark of the high calling. Romans 8:13 tells us the way we overcome the flesh is by moment, taking it to the cross. Again, Romans 8:13 says we are to mortify ourselves, mortify the flesh. Jesus made atonement for our sins by shedding his blood on the cross 2,000 years ago. He paid the ultimate price. Nothing more is needed for justification. That's the salvation of our spirit. However, in order to be sanctified, we must allow the Lord to daily expose our self life, any fleshly or self-centered ways, and we're the ones, by our choice, we must nail it to the cross. We must appropriate what God has already done for us. It's already been done, but it's our choice to appropriate it or not. Romans 12, 1-2 tells us how we're to do this, and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you daily present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, we are to put ourselves on the altar or on the cross, however you want to say it. Leave ourselves there, never to be taken off. We make the choice to put ourselves on the altar. We make the choice to be crucified with Christ, to be co-crucified, never to be removed. Okay, let's talk about what is the flesh. We toss this term around so easily and say, oh yeah, the flesh this, the flesh that. What exactly do we mean? Flesh simply means our old human nature. The flesh is our old human nature. It's our old man. It's our natural thoughts. natural emotions, natural desires that are usually contrary to God's. It's the old man. Flesh is depending upon my own strength and my own ability to accomplish things and not God. That's the flesh. The flesh includes things like pride, arrogance, spite, revenge, cruelty, foolishness, egotism, possessiveness, and all the other works of the flesh that Galatians 5:19 through 21 talks about. The scary part of this passage, Galatians 5:19 through 21, says that they who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom. They that do those things shall not inherit the kingdom. Now, some of us can look at this list and feel pretty good about ourselves and say, well, I don't do those things. Okay, what about fear? How many of us experience fear? All of us experience fear. Fear is the opposite to faith. And fear is what cripples us. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Other works of the flesh, doubt, resentment, insecurity, selfishness, self-confidence, self-importance, self-love, self-reliance, self-trust, self-pity, self-grasping, self-seeking, self-preservation, self-esteem. Who in this room doesn't do those things? Every single one of us do those things. Those are the things that are not of flesh that quench the spirit. Those are the things that quench the spirit. Those are the things that are the flesh. Those are the things we constantly need to take to the cross in order to stay clean and sanctified. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves daily from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is something we need to do daily. So it's our faith in the Word of God that cleanses us from the world, but it's the cross of Christ that crucifies our flesh. The way we overcome the world is by the Word of God, faith in the Word of God. The way we overcome the flesh is by the cross of Christ. Okay, so just think of the Word of God is the world, and the flesh is the cross. Okay, interestingly enough, overcoming involves suffering. The purpose of the cross is to bring an end to the dominion of our flesh so that the life of God from our hearts can come forth. Unfortunately, it hurts when we apply the cross. It hurts to die. It hurts to die. It hurts to die to self. But pain is an integral part of the sanctification process. We give God our life, He gives us His. Less of me, more of him. I die daily, is what Paul said. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, every one of us who lives godly in Jesus Christ will suffer. Will suffer. 2 Timothy 3:12. And I heard a pastor just a few weeks ago ask a congregation if anyone in that congregation ever suffered. And do you know what? Only one person raised their hand. Only one person raised their hand. They thought suffering meant torture, persecution, imprisonment. Listen, we all suffer when we choose to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ. We all suffer. Suffering is simply the result of denying ourselves and choosing to follow Christ. Interestingly enough, the definition of the word to deny means to bar ourselves from following what our sin and self are telling us. The definition of the word to deny means to bar ourselves from following what I feel, what I think, what I want to do. And when we do this, it does hurt. It does hurt. It is painful, and we do suffer, just as 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us. So the kind of suffering that God is talking about here doesn't mean being persecuted or tortured or imprisoned for our faith in some faraway prison. It simply means constantly choosing to bar ourselves, deny ourselves from following what we think, feel, and want, and instead making faith choices to follow God, to pick up our cross and to follow God. He then promises, when we do that, that's our responsibility, He then promises to be our comforter, to be our defender, to be our deliverer. Romans 8:17 even goes on to say, if we suffer for him, with him, we will also reign with him. That connects suffering with reigning with Jesus. That's not just mean persecution, being in prison. It means daily denying yourself, picking up your cross and following him. You do that, there's a promise. You will reign with Christ. Romans 8:17. Solutions to overcoming the flesh. Continually making faith choices by the authority and power of God to put off the old man. This is how we overcome the flesh and to put on Christ. We've all read that scripture in Ephesians 100 million times. Four practical applications to doing this. You can write these down. These steps are patterned. They're not something that I just came up. These steps are patterned after what the priests in Solomon's temple did in the inner court to deal with their own sin and their self. So they're not just something that I've made up. There's something that's a scriptural four steps. We're going to go over these really quickly because I only have just a few minutes left. But if you want more details, check out Way of Agape. All through the Way of Agape, also Be Transformed, have these steps. And also pages 274 to 280 in your books also have these steps. First step towards overcoming the flesh is to admit when we blow it. Admit when we're angry, bitter, resentful, doubtful, fearful. Admit it. Acknowledge our sin and self to God. Don't try and hide it. Don't try and justify. There is such freedom in doing this. We are human. We're going to blow it. No matter if you've been a Christian 50 years and you're up here teaching classes, we're going to blow it, every single one of us, every day. We're going to do wrong. We're going to sin. But when we do, if we're honest with God and we choose by faith to bring it to the cross, then we will immediately know we're forgiven, cleansed, and sanctified. We know that. 1 John 1:9. So the freedom to fail and the freedom to be forgiven allows us to be who we really are. This is the most incredible thing at all. It allows us to bring those masks down and be who we really are. It's wonderful. We don't have to wear masks. Don't have to wear cover-ups. Don't have to wear facades anymore. It not only allows me to be free, it also allows the one that I am ministering to or the one I'm talking to put their mask down and be free also. Interesting, one of the definitions of freedom, of overcoming, is freedom. One of the definitions of overcoming is freedom. Freedom from the world, freedom from our flesh, and freedom from the enemy. Number two, once we acknowledge what we have done wrong, second step is to confess and repent of it. It means to own it. We need to own it. Repent simply means to turn around from following what that thing is telling us to do. Second part of this second step is not only to ask God for his forgiveness for sins, but also to choose unconditionally to forgive anyone who has wronged us in that situation. Choose by faith. You don't feel it. You don't want to forgive them. But God says you want to be free. You choose to forgive them. What you do is you release that person to God's hands. That's all you're doing there. It's not that you're pardoning these people. That's God's business to pardon them. But by forgiving them, you're releasing them to God's hand to do what he knows is best. And then we free ourselves from Satan's entanglement. Third step, take our sin and ourself to the cross. Everything the Lord has shown us. Only the shed blood of Christ can cover our sins. They've already been paid for. We're just appropriating what he's done. Final step, replace the lies that we have believed with the truth of God's word. Replace the lies, the feelings, the emotions, the things that's a mind battle been going over in your mind. Replace them with God's word. This is why it's important to memorize God's word. Memorize scripture. So when you're out on the road and something happens, you can put God's word back in. Doing these four steps is where the overcoming Kratos power of God comes in. Remember that emotional power we talked about several weeks ago? To set aside, to reign in ourself so God's power can come forth. This is where the Kratos power comes in. God has given us the ability and the power to just say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to say yes to his spirit. Overcoming faith, applying the authority and power of God, is therefore the only pathway to joy, to peace, to purpose, to meaning in this life, as well as a role in the next life. After the break, we're going to be talking about overcoming the enemy, the keys to the kingdom, binding and loosing, solutions to overcoming the devil, pulling down strongholds, and three stages of warfare. I love you. I'll see you after the break.